The following is a Christians for Messiah Ministries production. Our mandate is to teach God's Word, train God's people, and release God's favor. At the close of this teaching, please continue listening as we give you important information about Christians for Messiah Ministries. We now invite you to listen to a powerful message by Dr. Peter Wins. This message, number 0064, is entitled, Finding the Footholds of Faith.
I want to speak to you about finding the footholds of faith. You know what a foothold is? It's a step that you have to find if you're going to climb a mountain. If you don't get a foothold, you're sliding down the mountain or at least not going up it. But if you want to go up the mountain of the Lord for your purpose and for blessings and for the power of God to rest on you, you cannot do it without faith. And you cannot find faith unless you find the proper footholds for faith. There is a secret ladder woven into the mountain of your life that you have to find and climb in order to fulfill your destiny and be all that God wants you to be. So this message is entitled, Finding the Footholds of Faith. And before we're finished, I'm going to give you something I've never heard anybody speak on before. I'm going to talk to you about five different kinds of faith that the Bible gives us. Five different kinds of faith and how they are all important for you. Open your Bibles with me now to Hebrews chapter 11. I'm going to read the first two verses, and I'm reading in the New International Version. This is what we read. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed by God's command so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. Let's pray. We welcome you, precious Holy Spirit. We open our hearts now. We ask that the Word of God would be mixed with faith in our hearts and would bring forth great result. As we press forward in our lives, we know there's a mountain before us to climb. It's a mountain of discovery. It's a mountain of authority. It's a mountain of purpose. It's a mountain of blessings. Lord, we know we can't climb this mountain without faith. So we ask now that you would open the ears of our understanding and release the power of the Holy Spirit to the deep places within us that we might take this journey with you and press on to that which you have called us for. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus is called the author and the finisher of your faith. In other words, he's the one who designed your faith, and it's up to him to see that it's completed. He's given you his Holy Spirit, who is your personal trainer, your personal teacher, and he is going to help you find the faith that is your faith, that comes as a gift from God. And as you walk in this faith, and as you find it, great things happen in your life. Everywhere I go, there are people who come to me and say, I want anointing in my life. I want to know how to hear God. I want faith. You remember the man in the Bible who came up to Jesus and said, increase my faith. He said, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Lord, increase my faith. Jesus had so much to say about faith. Do you know, in the Old Testament, the word faith is only mentioned two times. And in the New Testament, the word faith is mentioned more than 100 times. With the coming of Jesus came the connect with God at a whole new level. It's called the journey of faith. And it is for every person. For Jesus is the author and finisher of faith. Salvation is quite simple. You just call on the name of the Lord, have that amount of faith, and you will be saved. But now, if you want to come into purpose, if you want everything that God has for you, you've got to go on a journey. I remember the time when our children were little, and now they're having babies. But they were once upon a time little. And I remember the first time we took them 3,000 miles from the Niagara area where we lived in Canada all the way to Vancouver. And my son Andrew, who some of you met just a couple of weeks ago, he's now 31. But at that time, he was 7. And he was so excited to go to the Rocky Mountains. And he said, "Dad, when we get to the Rocky Mountains, I want to climb the mountain." And I said, "That's why we're going, son. We're going to climb the mountain." So we drove 3,000 miles across the country. And long before we ever got to the mountain, we could see them in the distance. And I said, "Andrew, there's the mountains." He was so pumped and so excited. Finally, we got to the base of the mountain. You know, these mountains in a car take 20 minutes to drive up. And there's snow at the very top of them. And he thought we were going to climb the mountain from the bottom. It would have taken a good week or two for a 7-year-old, if he could have done it, to climb the mountain. Well, he started to become upset because we started to drive up the mountain. And he said, "Dad, I thought we were climbing the mountain, not driving the mountain." And I said, "Yes, son, we're climbing up with the car." He said, no, I guess he had seen something different on TV. And he was 7 years of age, but he wanted to be a mountain climber. And so we got to this place 3/4 way up the mountain where there was a nice parking lot. They had blasted out a side of the mountain and leveled it, and you could park your car there. And then there were trails. Well, I said, "We're going climbing now, son." We got out of the car, and we started to walk up the trail. And he said, "Dad, this isn't climbing the mountain. This is just walking." And I said, "Son, I don't know if you could climb the mountain like a mountain climber." He said, "Yes, I can, Dad." I said, "Okay." I said, "Joy, would you take the other kids and go up the path to the top of this cliff, which had been blown out on the side of the mountain to make this parking lot?" It was about a 50-foot straight sheer cliff. And the path went up along the top of it. And I said, "Joy, take the children. Andrew and I will meet you up there. We're climbing the cliff." So Andrew got excited. He was just radiant with adventure. And I said, "Now, this is the way we're going to do it, son. I'm going to find some footholds, and we're going to go up the mountain, but you're going to be here and I'm going to be behind you, and if you fall, you're just going to come like this against me, and we're going to go real slow, but we're going to go right to the top." That's how we train our kids. So we started at the bottom. I had found a spot where I could negotiate all the way to the top, and it didn't look too bad. So we started going. I said, "Now put your foot in the next foothold, son." And he did. And then we went up to the next one. When we got about 30 feet up, his poor little body started shaking. And he said, "Dad, I'm frightened. You look down 30 feet and it is forever, especially to a 7-year-old. And he said, "Dad, I'm frightened. I want to go down." I said, "Son, at this point, it's easier to go up than it is to go down. We're going up." And there was a point, maybe 40 feet up, where he felt he couldn't do it anymore. And I had to take his hand and put it to the next spot and said, "Now put your foot there, son. You're not quitting. You're going to go to the top." And he did. He got to the top of the mountain where Mom was there and the girls, Elizabeth and Rachel. Thank you. And Andrew climbed up on the grass, and he had climbed the mountain. And that's what you have to do. This is your journey. Jesus had many things to say to the common people about faith. Let me give you a few of the phrases he said to them. And I want to ask you, what would he say to you if he met you at Trade and Tryon or at Carowinds? What would he say to you? What one of these phrases would be applicable? He said to some, "Where is your faith?" He said to others, "When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" To others, he said, "If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, 'Be thou removed and cast into the sea,' and it will be done." To another, a woman who had been crippled for most of her life, he said, "Thy faith has made you whole." To another, he said, "I have not found so great a faith in all of Israel." To his disciples, he said, "Oh, you of little faith." If Jesus met you today with nobody else around, what would he say to you regarding faith? Academics will not get you to the top of this mountain. Your friends and your family will not get you to the top of this mountain. Your church will not get you to the top of this mountain. This is a mountain designed for you, and only the footholds of faith will get you to the top of it. But it's been designed for you by Jesus, and the faith steps are a gift of God for your life. Now, my task as a minister of the gospel is to help you find faith, to help you connect with faith, and to help you maintain faith. If you can do that on the journey of your life, you will do extraordinary things, and you will be a fulfilled and happy person at the end of the day. I don't know any other recipe to answer those questions. Let me give you five kinds of faith. First of all, biblical faith. What does the Bible say faith is? Secondly, secret personal faith. Thirdly, mandated faith. Faith that is absolutely essential. God says so. Fourth, exploratory faith. That's when you learn to find it. And fifth, explosive faith. That's when the anointing of the Lord comes upon you and you're going to do something. You are a bomb ready to explode for the kingdom of heaven and the glory of God because the faith of the Lord is on you. Now let's look at these five kinds of faith one at a time very briefly. We could look at the life of Jesus as we go through these five types of faith. We could also look at the life of Gideon, who put forth the fleece, or of any of the patriarchs of old. If we go to Hebrews chapter 11, we find by faith Joseph did something. By faith Noah built an ark. By faith Abraham left his home and went to where God told him to go. By faith, Sarah conceived and had a child. By faith, Moses refused that which was given to him by Pharaoh and took hold of the God that was invisible. By faith, the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea. By faith, Abel offered a better sacrifice. All the patriarchs of old, although faith isn't mentioned much in the Old Testament, they all had a lot of it. And we know what the Bible says about faith. It says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. We know that faith comes by hearing. If you read in Romans chapter 10, it says faith comes by hearing. See, faith is not presumption. Presumption is when you presume on a good idea and you say, I'm going to have faith, that's what I'm going to do. That will get you in trouble. That will mess up more Christians. Some will end up in the psychiatric ward because they are determining themselves what is the word of God and then pressing all of their lives into it and ending up in confusion and disappointment. And the bottom falls out for those people. Faith is always based on the word of God. Faith comes by hearing. If you're not hearing God, you haven't even started yet. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the voice of God. We could say the word of God, but it's that word of God which is actually his voice to you. You've got to hear God speak to you, and there are many ways that you can hear God. Through a prophet, through the scriptures, through an angel, through a dream, through a revelation, through the Bible. Many different ways that God can speak to you. But it's got to get inside of you, and you've got to know that this is God's word to you. That's called biblical faith. And without it, it is impossible to please God. Faith is a gift. You can only get it from God. You cannot fix yourself, and you cannot get to where you need to go by yourself. Only God can take you there. That's biblical faith. And you have to put your trust in him. The second kind of faith that I've discovered is secret personal faith. I love that verse about Jesus. It says, and Jesus grew in favor with God and with man. That's where you start. This faith has to be personal for you. And you've got to grow in favor with God. You have to become God's friend. And if you grow in favor with God, you will also grow in favor with his people. The two go hand in hand. And so this personal faith is like a secret thing. You have to have a secret faith. You have to know that God is visiting you, and in that place, he's speaking to you. And your life comes out of that relationship with him. That secret personal faith. Jesus said it like this. He said, when you pray, go into your closet and close the door. And your Father who is in secret, when he sees you in secret and you pray in secret, he will reward you openly. This is the secret life of every Christian. Without this secret personal faith, you are not equipped for tomorrow. You are not equipped for whoever is going to be president of the United States, or whatever is happening with terrorists, or whatever natural disasters are coming, or whatever relational upheavals come to your family or your life. You're not equipped for it unless you have this secret personal faith. And the secret personal faith is an encounter with God that is yours. You know, when you have personal secret encounters with God and you have them again, repeatedly and again, repeatedly, then nobody can take that away from you. Though none should follow, still I will follow. I have decided to follow Jesus. You know that little chorus. None go with me, still I will follow. I have a personal encounter with the Lord every day, at least every second day that I identify. God wakes me in the night, speaks to me on my journey, gives me a word from Scripture, but in it there is a personal word of faith to me. You must have that. How are you going to get it? The Bible says, ask and you shall receive. Knock, and the door shall be opened unto you. Seek, and you shall find. That's the promise of the Lord. If you don't have that, you need to go back to step number one, biblical faith. Without it, you can't go up this mountain. These are footholds. They're basic foundational steps at the beginning of the mountain. So the first one is biblical faith. The second is secret personal faith. The third kind of faith I call mandated faith. And I think of Jesus when he was 12 years of age, and he was there at the temple during one of the sacred feasts of the Lord. And while he was there with his mother and father, he was talking with the scribes and Pharisees and rulers of the religious law. And when the caravan left to go home, I guess his parents thought he was with Uncle Reuben. And Uncle Reuben thought he was with one of the other family members. This actually happened to our son Matthew once on our way down to Florida. We had two cars traveling. He was in one. He said he wanted to go to the other car. When we stopped at a gas station, he went out to the bathroom. Both cars thought they had poor Matthew, and he was just a little guy. And we drove off down the highway and left him alone at the gas station. And we got, I don't know, 5 or 10 miles down the highway, and Mom said, I just saw the other car go by, and I don't think Matthew was in that car. We did not have cell phones in those days. And we pulled up beside the car and looked in. Where's Matthew? We thought he was with you. Well, I pulled off at the next exit, and I broke the law. I put the pedal to the metal, and I floored that car. We went back to that gas station, and there was Matthew standing there, all by his lonesome, in the front, abandoned. I hope the Lord's healed you, Matthew, by now. You're a great man of God. Forgive us for our sins. But something like that happened to Jesus when he was 12 years of age. And Dad and Mom went back to find him. And they found him in the temple talking with the scribes and Pharisees. And they were amazed at his learning and his wisdom and his authority. And they said, why have you done this? Don't you know that we have been looking for you? And Jesus, the boy, turned and said to his parents, don't you know that I must be about my Father's business? That's what I call mandated faith. Because the Bible tells us that there's a certain kind of faith that you must have. It is mandated or commanded for you to have it. Without this kind of faith, it's impossible for you to please God. And this is it very simply, that you must first of all believe that he is. And secondly, you must believe that he will reward you if you seek him. God says you have to have that. Now, he's not saying that you have to believe just that there is God or that God can work with other people. No, he says, you must believe that God is and that he's a rewarder of you if you diligently seek him. That's the foothold of faith. If you're going up this mountain, you've got to know that God loves you. He made you in his image. He made you to be an overcomer. He made you for blessings and not curses. He made you for victory and not defeat. He made you for success and not failure. He made you for health and not sickness. He made you for glory and not shame. He made you for the kingdom of heaven and not the kingdoms of this world. He made you for eternity, and you're his possession. And if you believe that, you're found a foothold of faith. Amen. The fourth kind of faith is what I call exploratory faith. Now, this has to do with your journey. All of you are trying to discover who you are what you're supposed to do and where you're supposed to go. If you're single, it's who you're supposed to marry or if you're supposed to be married. It's what kind of ministry are you to be in? Where are you to live? What church family are you to be a part of? Every decision of a major nature in your life is part of your journey of discovery. And if you are asking God for every step along the way, you've already passed the first three exams. You're well on your way. But now this one is big. This exploratory faith is not just finding the destination. The best part of this is the journey. If we go on a missions trip, I remember taking 12 at one time on a missions trip to India. And we did many things, preaching to small groups in huts and 5,000s in large meetings. And then we went riding on elephants through the jungle to see if we could see tigers. We preached the gospel on the streets, prayed for the sick, and we had a fabulous time. The journey was as great as the events at the end of the journey. In fact, most of the stories come out of the journey. Your life's like this. You think if you can only get to a certain point, you've come to success? No, success is in the pathway. It's every step along the way. Contentment is enjoying the scenery all along the detour. That's what contentment is. You think you're on a detour in life, but you've learned to enjoy the scenery on your journey. This exploratory faith happened with Jesus when he was in the wilderness for 40 days before his ministry began. He went from the wilderness to the wedding. Do you remember? The first miracle took place in the wedding in Cana of Galilee. But before then, Jesus was in the wilderness. And what was he doing there? He was tempted by the devil. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness. This was his journey. Most of us don't like the wilderness. We don't want to go there. Jesus fasted and sought the Lord. I think it was in that place where he got a full revelation that he was going to have to die for the sins of humanity. What he was going to do came to him at that time. I don't think when he was a little boy he knew all of those things. He grew like we grow. But he went from that wilderness, that journey through difficult times, through a desert, like your desert, like your difficult times. But he walked with the Holy Spirit in the wilderness. He resisted the temptations of the devil in the wilderness. At the end of it, the angels came to comfort him. And then the Bible says, and he left the wilderness and went up to Galilee in the power of the Holy Spirit. And he went to the wedding at Cana of Galilee. He was in early days of the ministry now. Some of his disciples had gathered around him. He hadn't performed any miracles yet. And they ran out of wine at the wedding. And the mom, I love moms. Moms who have the spirit of mom upon them is great. They're encouragers, they're helpers, they're servers. I love moms. And here was his mom. And she found out that they ran out of wine. Jesus was still on exploratory faith mission. He was now stepping out into the first steps of his ministry. And the mother came to him and said, Jesus, she apparently knew a little more than he did at that time, because she said, son, they've ran out of wine. And he basically said, so what? What do you want to do with me? And then the power of the Holy Spirit came on Jesus. And he said, bring me some water. And he turned the water into wine. And the Bible says this was the first of his miracles, of his signs and wonders. So there is an exploratory journey. It's not laid out for you in black and white. You don't see every foothold. You can't climb this mountain and get to the next foothold until you get to a certain height. Then you see the next hole that you have to go into. And then while you're up there, there are some places where you're hanging out for dear life and you have to reach all over around you to find the next foothold or the next handhold of faith to climb this mountain. This is your journey. But Jesus is the author and the finisher of your faith. And the scripture tells us that Jesus then moved in the power of the Spirit. He was always had his Holy Spirit radar on. As he walked around Galilee, through the streets of Jerusalem, in Capernaum, there were so many things happening. All of a sudden, a sick person came here. Somebody was dead over here. A blind person was here. The Pharisees were rebuking him over here. And he needed to respond with the word of the Lord and the power of the Holy Spirit in every situation. And he did it because he was stepping out, listening to God. This is the journey. It is so much fun once you get past the initial trauma. This is your life. I said to somebody over this Christmas season about the ministry. I was phoning people up and just wishing them a Merry Christmas. And somehow we got talking about life. And I said, there are three things that I really want. I want to love God and serve him with all of my being. Number one. Number two, I want to love people and serve people with all of my being. Number three, I want to enjoy it. I really want to enjoy the journey. If we're not having fun, something isn't right. I don't mean that it's always fun. There are times of trials and tribulations, but life should not be a drudgery that goes from pain to pain, difficulty to difficulty. It should be from mountaintop to mountaintop, from glory to glory. And you can have fun even in the midst of the storm if you know who's the pilot of the ship. So that's your exploratory journey. And you have to do whatever the Lord tells you to find the next step. But keep climbing. Keep pressing in. And you'll find sometimes when you reach or put your foot somewhere, there's no foothold there. You thought for sure you were going up the mountain there. But it's a dead end. And you have to find a different foothold. And that's your journey. And Jesus has designed it. Your whole journey is designed by him already. You just explore, listen to the Holy Spirit, and move in faith. Lastly, the fifth type of faith is what I call explosive faith. And we read about it in Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, by now people who are members of this congregation know that this is my favorite scripture in the Bible. It is Luke chapter 4, starting at verse 18. This is called explosive faith. Jesus said, Luke 4, 18, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." You see, there comes a place where you've passed biblical faith, where you're grounded in personal secret faith, when you've fulfilled mandated faith, when you've taken so many journeys of exploratory faith that you get to the place where you are solid in the faith and you are pumped in the faith and you are excited in the faith. And the power of the Lord is upon you because God has anointed you. It's like you've graduated. I don't mean just that the anointing of the Lord comes on you like prophets of old. I'm talking about the New Testament generation that has the presence and power of God on them all the time. And they're always ready, like Jesus was. If somebody runs up behind him and touches the hem of his garment, there's going to be some divine virtue going out of him. He can turn a corner and raise somebody from the dead. Of course, this is a growing anointing. But once you get to this kind of faith, explosive faith, it's like a pent-up flood inside of you. There is a confidence. There is an expectancy for miracles and signs and wonders. It still doesn't mean that you get your own way. It still doesn't mean that you can do just anything you want. It's conditional upon fitting in with the program of God. But if you're fitting in with the program of God, if that's settled, and you climb this mountain, at some point, you're going to see written in the rock, you have reached the level of explosive faith. I say, hallelujah, but do you want things to explode when you're hanging on the side of the mountain? I love it. I wouldn't give up this job for any other job. I wouldn't want to do anything else. I just want more of what I'm doing. I want more of his presence. Now, some of you have not known how to find faith or how to move in faith. Some of you haven't realized the importance of faith. But today, the Holy Spirit has been dropping little drops of wisdom into you as the Word of God has been spoken. He's given you information, instruction. And now you have to take this and you have to run with it. You have to say, I want to be like Andrew Wins, who's going to climb a rocky mountain. I'm traveling across the nation. I'm coming to the foothills. And when my time comes, you can't climb every side of the mountain. You can't climb every mountain. You can't climb anybody else's mountain. There's a section of the mountain that is for you. Are you going to go there? Are you going to climb there? Are you going to find the footholds of faith? They will be there if you ask, if you knock, and if you seek. The Holy Spirit is moving on you right now. This has been a word of the Lord to you to take and run with. Now I want to pray over you. Some of you have come today specifically for prayer, and the presence of the Lord and the power of the Lord is here to heal and to bring release, to set captives free, and to release God's blessings on your life. Now open your hands in front of you, would you? You can just remain seated. I'm going to pray for you now. And then I'm going to lead you in a prayer for your personal faith journey. Holy Spirit of God, we so welcome you. We so thank you for your goodness and your mercies and your faithfulness. We thank you for your gentleness in this room right now and for the warmth of your care for each of us. Though some of us have not walked on this path of faith as we should, still you are there. And Lord, we thank you. We open our hearts completely now and we say, come, Spirit of God, come, great teacher of heaven, and lead us on the path and the journey of faith that has been designed for us. In the name of Jesus, I speak blessings over your people here. I ask now that healing would come to broken hearts. I ask now that the old would be washed away so that the pathway may be cleared and a new journey can begin. I ask, Lord, for the blessings to come where curses have been. I ask that the power of the Holy Spirit would flow for signs and wonders and miracles. Lord, I ask for the opening of eyes, for revelation and the prophetic word and the word of the Lord to come. Lord, give us bigger ears now so that we can hear in the Spirit what you're saying to us. We welcome all of these things. Now, would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for today and for your word to me. This year, I ask you to lead me. Open doors before me. Release your blessings upon me. Let me not hesitate or wait behind, but press forward into your blessings and your call on my life. And now I present my body to you. I give you my hands and my heart, my eyes, my mouth, my ears, and my mind. Lord, I give it all to you. Let the anointing of the Lord come upon my life and release me unto the destiny and the purpose of God that is my inheritance. I receive it in Jesus' name. Amen.
If after hearing this message you would like prayer or further information about our ministry, email Dr. Peter Wins at winsusa@comporium.net. That's winsusa@comporium.net. For additional teaching and other CMM resources, visit our websites at peterwins.org or unexpectedfire.com. Your financial contributions help this ministry continue. Your support is greatly appreciated. For tax receipts, send donations to Christians for Messiah Ministries, P.O. Box 36324, Rock Hill, South Carolina, 29732. We hope that you have enjoyed this powerful teaching by Dr. Peter Wins. We trust that it has taught you in the ways of the Lord, that it has helped to train you to be a better disciple, and that because of this teaching, you will receive more of God's blessings and favor on your life. From all of us here at CMM to all of you who are listening, we extend God's richest blessings.